Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matters.
Yes, we're hearing you loud and clear, Dr.
Fantastic. So good afternoon, everyone. As usual, sometimes we may have one or two little technology little breaks, but I'm here to answer your questions. Good afternoon, Base. Good afternoon to everyone tuned in. Yesterday, we got quite a number of feedbacks from the conversation started about testicular cancer and endometriosis. And I'm very pleased that persons are paying such attention to their health. So today, again, as always, we welcome every single question, but we are going to pay a little bit more attention about those particular topics. So over to Base, let him repeat those numbers and let's get the program on the way.
All right, folks, 8 minutes now after 12 o'clock. Our numbers for the lunchtime, doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306 for your WhatsApps only, 306-1065, and feel free to send your questions out to our other frequencies, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM, and we will take your questions to the lunchtime doctor. Let's get a call right away. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, morning.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, please.
Good afternoon. Hello. We're hearing you, and your question or comment is?
All right, my question is, I find around my neck getting very black. I tested my sugar is all right. Everything all right, but I put on some size. So I know I want you to, I will listen off it.
Okay. Now, what you are noticing there, and I'm happy you already checked your sugar, but it does sound like, because you said you're putting on a little bit of weight, and now you're seeing that dark discoloration, mainly around the neck. It may also happen in other areas under the armpit, between the leg creases. That's called acanthus nigricans. Now, I'm glad the sugar was okay, but we probably need to do a more formal testing because that's what we call a preliminary sign. It is indeed consistent with the sugars going up and down or some sort of dysregulation. I'm happy you noticed it. If it is you tested the sugar at home, what I suggest is we do a more formalized testing, like a fasting blood sugar test, or you do it in the lab and they'll do a full breakdown. What you could start to do from now, from today, just start to cut down on the sugar content. Be a little bit more aware of the calories and be a little bit more aware of the sugar content in the food, increasing your water, and if you can, I advise this to every single person. Let's start moving. 15 minutes exercise, any bit you can will certainly help.
I thank you there very much, doctor. Once again, your numbers to call, 627-3223 and 625-2257. Could we please avoid a call in the WhatsApp? The WhatsApp is not for calls, people. It's to send messages only, right? Messages only. So 306-1065 for messages only. Hello, thank you. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I am 85 years and I had a sketch cramp. I'm a female and my 2 foot in the calves. Can you help me, doctor? Thank you.
All right. Stay on the line, my darling. Stay on the line.
Yes, yes.
Right. Have you ever had any medical checkups, as in if to know if it's diabetes or high blood pressure or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, I had, but I don't have any diabetes and no
okay,
pressure.
Great. Right. When was the last time you did that check?
I think it must be ending of last year.
Okay, great. Now, the thing about those cramps,
yes,
that especially as one ages,
yes,
is that there is indeed, right,
yes,
certain nerve endings can become damaged over time. Just like with the joints, where there's an arthritic process and it becomes a little bit difficult to walk sometimes, there's stiffness of the joints. The same thing can happen with the nerve endings, and that's why it tends to present in the limbs, especially the feet, more so than even in the hands. What is important for you to know, yes, and I'm happy you already did the sugar test, yes, but sometimes let's just make sure we also watching what we eat, because that foot numbness, the most common cause is indeed diabetes. Now there's another cause as we're aging, and that's called within the feet itself, because there's so many joints, as in the ankle joint, there's something called a foot tarsal tunnel syndrome. So there may be a little compression of those nerves within the ankle joint. So as you said, you've been checked for diabetes, you've been checked for high blood pressure. Those are the more common things that causes this neuropathy. The other thing that causes the neuropathy or the numbness and tingling that you're talking about is indeed is if there's any constriction or blockage within the joint of the nerves. And that definitely needs to be checked out right away, because once there you start to feel numbness or that cramp in particular, it means something is being affected, the nerves are being affected, and it will only get worse. In a case like this, we'll instantly do a couple little checks. We'll do a neuromuscular check, we'll do a nerve test, right?
Yes.
But we'll specifically look at, see if there's any other process that can be contributing or triggering this. There are other medical conditions that can cause this numbness.
Yes.
And I mentioned that it could be a constriction right there at the ankle itself, or it could be a few other things. And we mentioned the arthritic process. So today, if you can, you want to just start some physiotherapy. You want to just continue to do some movements, some shifting around at the ankle. Mm. If you want to, definitely, we recommend highly get it checked properly by a healthcare physician.
Yes.
There are now in the health centers a couple foot clinics that are being opened, because they realize just how many concerns with their feet.
Yes.
So it's called a foot wellness clinic. Definitely just go and check, get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you, and you have a nice day, doctor. Bye.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. Thank you there very much, ma'am. 50 minutes now after 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor Hood and Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and of course, Vibe City 105 FM, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, WhatsApp numbers to call only 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Doc. Now, I have noticed that the past few months, I have gotten black, dark discoloration at the side of my temple, the left side, to be precise. I'm wondering what could have caused that. I'm not in the sun all the time to say, well, it's sunburn or anything like that. You know, people say all kind of things. Someone was saying that it could be related to sugar, all kind of different things. But I was calling to get your professional advice on that.
Okay, so I understand why they may instantly assume it may be related to sugar, because there is the darkening, and we just mentioned it, behind the neck or the creases. So that may be under the armpits or between the legs, and that's called acanthus nigricans. However, what you described there, it's on the face. And as you mentioned, it's more on the temple, and it's just one side. It's unilateral. Here's what I think that is. So that hyperpigmentation area, one, it may be related to stress. Right? And when one is stressed, the skin somatizes different reactions. It may be as well some sort of allergic type reaction. And here's why I'm seeing this. As we're seeing so much patients being affected by Sahara dust, it's affecting their scalp. We're seeing more cases of alopecia areata. That's something within the scalp where persons are losing little patches of hair. and also it's presenting on the skin. So what you are talking about there, I am not overly worried about it. Are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Does it feel as if it's itchy, or is it say the darkened area with a lightened, is it patchy? Can you describe it to me?
No, it's about an inch and a half in diameter. And no matter what type of face cream or anything I use, it doesn't seem to be fading at all.
Right, because it may not be it's not usually treatable by a skin cream. Skin creams tend to just moisturize. In this case, because of where it's at, like I said, it may be stress related. And because it's stress related, it may be a mild fungal reaction on the skin. And don't be alarmed, there are treatments for that. So you may need an antifungal treatment. And here's where you may need a dermatologist to take a look at it, or even your healthcare professional. If it is something that they see quite often, they'll definitely be able to treat it. The reason why you would need to treat it is because it can start popping up in other places of your skin. It can start spreading a little bit more. It can now go into phases where it can become itchy. And I'm glad that you've already ruled out that it's not diabetes, but it's always good to just make sure we do a proper check. In this case, I haven't seen it, okay? So keep that in mind. I'm leaning based on the kinds of cases we've seen, and especially now because of the Sahara dust. So one, it may be a skin condition in terms of allergic type reaction because of the Sahara dust. It may be stress related, or it may be a fungal type reaction that can be treated with antifungals. I suggest, just as I say to all of the patients, go present to the healthcare professional, get it checked out, but more importantly, get it treated before it becomes worse.
All right, he left there. And as we're on the topic of, you know, like signs of, high blood sugar and diabetes, maybe you could give us some of these signs so that people may, you know.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So let's go straight to the high blood pressure, because high blood pressure is one that creeps up, and it only really presents with some of these signs that one may not even realize. They're so vague. You can be getting headaches, and that could be a sign of high blood pressure. You can be getting pains. So I'm starting at the very top. Pains behind your neck, and that may be a sign of high blood pressure. We know the consistent chest pain, that's very serious high blood pressure. You may be getting blurry vision. That is also a sign. When it comes to the skin, there can be changes in the skin, and that's a sign of both diabetes or high blood pressure. With the eyes, persons, have you ever noticed you're seeing like a thin line around the cornea of the eyes, and that's like a yellow deposits? That's actually cholesterol deposits at the eyes. There, the body itself can show so many different signs. I always say, if you see something and something is off, let's not wait until it gets worse, because believe me, it will get worse. It's not going to, once it appears on your skin, it's not going to magically disappear, right? So just with the face alone, especially diabetes and high blood pressure, you will see some of those signs.
All right, good information to know there, Doc. 21 minutes now after 12 o'clock, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Let's see if you have any WhatsApps there. And of course, you can call us up at 627-3223. Hello, good afternoon.
The cancer of the groin cancer. Does have any signs or such, or it just started to get pains and so on? Lockdown is turning off here, right?
Good question. So what do people notice? Yes, they can feel a pain, but even before they feel the pain in the testicular area, they may feel a fullness. And when I say fullness, in the lower abdomen, You may feel like if something is just uncomfortable, right? What you also may notice is not just the pain. You may actually notice an additional lump. So there is the testicular lump, and outside or within the testicular lump, the testes, you may feel this lump or growth. And just like we encourage women to do their breast surveys at home, to do their breast checks at home, we want to encourage our men as well. And please don't take this the wrong way, but get to know your body. Get to know if there are any changes. In with testicular cancer, it can present as early as age 15. And I'm not joking about this. We've had a patient as early as age 16, right here in Trinidad a couple of years ago. He was about to write his exams, and unfortunately, that was picked up. However, it was treated. Yes, he did need to have chemotherapy. He did need to have radiotherapy. He had to write an exam a year later, but he got treated. He's now probably mid-20s and very comfortable, good quality of life. No repeat or no re-emergence of the testicular cancer. So as we keep talking about, pick it up early. Let's treat it in stage one, stage two. Don't wait if you feel or see something abnormal. Just go get it checked.
Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good day to each and everyone there. My problem is every time I eat with pepper, I get a runny nose. Is this something to be worried about?
Not at all. Excellent question. I think many people get that. I'm glad that's happening. It's a normal stimulation that the pepper causes. If, however, that runny nose is becoming bloody, that's when I'll become worried. If the pepper is also causing any burning in the esophageal lining, it may have an ulcer, that's when I'll get worried. But having pepper and having a runny nose, that's a perfectly normal reaction.
All right, let's get a WhatsApp question here. But before that, let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to your lunchtime, doctor.
Yeah,
turn on your radio, please.
Yes, babe.
Yeah, man.
Good day, Anthony, doctor. A doctor called you a few days ago and mentioned to you that how the pressure was reading, and I written it down. And yesterday I went by the doctor and I showed him the paper. He said, very good. I wish all my patients could make his work easier. That is one. And yes, and he changed the medication, and this morning the pressure read perfect. So thank you for the advice and everything, right? And I want to ask you about a tablet called magnesium tablet. How beneficial it is to when you reach your 60s? Thank you.
Thank you so much for that feedback. And I do hope every single person here is listening. Let me explain exactly why that's so beneficial. During the day, and we talked about the white coat hypertension, as in when you come into the office, what the blood pressure could read. But during your normal day, when you're not around the doctor, when you take those values, say the morning time, the evening time, etc., those are the values that can guide the medical management. You see what the patient shared there? The doctor told him, I wish all my patients are like this. And that's what we tell our patients. When they bring the values, then we are better able to guide the medication. The doctor adjusted his medication this morning. He had an excellent value. In fact, he said a perfect value. And that's where we work as a team. So that's what I hope everyone is listening. When you were seeing that call, I was clapping and smiling, because if everyone who's listening here take that message, then we would have done a huge service right here on this radio program. What you asked about in your last question, the magnesium, yes, it certainly helps when it comes to also bringing down the blood pressure. But again, let the healthcare professional who's guiding that process make that recommendation. Good job, patient who called there. Continue to listen, continue to call in, and continue to share the feedback.
Nice, man. Great, man. Makes it all worthwhile. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Once again, you're being heard on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Vibe City 105, and Sky 99.5 FM. And again, feel free to forward those messages and we will get them momentarily. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hi, good afternoon, Doctor. I have an issue with my ankle. Anytime I walk on the treadmill, or if I walk too much, my ankle will swell. So I have a swollen ankle for some days. So could you tell me what is that about? I'll listen off air.
Okay, so what I'm concerned about is that the swelling. No, I realize you came off, but feel free to send it in as a message. Is it that the swelling only happens after you walk, or it may be present, say, during the course of the day? Because that actually is a little bit of a difference in terms of what could be the diagnosis. Now, with you walking and then you seeing the swelling, I'm not overly worried. But if you haven't done any actions and it's just pulling that's happening around the ankles at the end of the day, then that is normal. If your blood pressure is elevated along with that, or if you are able to use your finger thumb and just press onto the ankle, and as you press onto the skin stays pitted, or it stays compressed or depressed, that's called pitting edema. That is something I'd be concerned about. Normal little swelling as you walk, that's okay, because that's just gravity, that's the blood circulation working. If when you press onto the ankle and you're seeing it staying pressed, so you have to press onto the ankle bone, hold it down for about 3 seconds and then release, and you're seeing that pitting there, then I become concerned, along with if your blood pressure is elevated. If you're seeing this happening continuously, get your blood pressure checked, and of course, do present to the healthcare professional, because here's what happens. As we age, the body really does some strange things. The way it used to function is not functioning that way again. Our blood pressures, we could be not at risk by familial hypertension, and still the blood pressures can go up. There may be some problems with the peripheral circulation, so it's better to just get it checked and be on guard. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doc, here's a question, and I'm sure this question is going to concern you. Hi, what can be the reason for a man 30 years passing stools from time to time with a trace of blood?
Thank you so much for whoever bravely sent in this one. Anytime in the stool, that is typically a red flag. However, I'm not going to say it in a way to get you worried or overly fearful, because all of those things that causes blood in the stool are all treatable. Locally, it may be an hemorrhoid. And when we say hemorrhoid, it may be just a little tear around the perianal area. And again, that's something that's common. So let's make sure we get that checked. However, it could be something more sinister, as in it could be a sign of colorectal cancer. This is something we see quite often in Trinidadians, especially our Afro-Trinidadians over 45. Even more so if there's a risk factor. We do have a high population of colorectal cancer patients, and this is how it presents: blood in the stool. So please, this is not one to just not be concerned with. Get it checked out like yesterday. Thanks so much for sending in your message.
All right, let's get another one here. My colleague had COVID. Her only symptom was a cough. However, her blood pressure suddenly spiked and she had to be rushed to the emergency. Right, her blood pressure was usually very low. She was placed on nifedipine, 10 milligrams. And now her blood pressure is extra low. What is her way forward?
Okay. Now, what we have seen with a number of COVID patients is that there's something called a new onset hypertension. We've seen that across the board, not just here in Trinidad, right? Because COVID affects the arterioles, the mucosal layers, it causes an inflammatory process. It can precipitate the blood pressure to become elevated. I'm glad she was placed on certain medications. However, as you shared, now the blood pressures are going low. So we have to mitigate against any sort of further complications. You want to make sure that you're having the medication at the right time. You want to make sure you're eating well with the medications, and you want to make sure you're hydrating the body as well. Dehydration can also present with a lower blood pressure. And remember, you would now be post-COVID, and there's a whole series that the body can go through even after COVID. Now, you may wonder, to all those who are listening and tuned in, and may feel, but how did that person experience all of that symptoms and I had nothing? COVID has presented in different persons in different ways. Some persons had absolutely no symptoms. Some persons had symptoms that were mild. Some persons had nosebleeds. Some persons, as we know, reached in the ICU and unfortunately succumbed. So COVID presents in different ways. And yes, we still need to kind of have this conversation, because even after COVID, we're still seeing patients with a post-COVID syndrome. So I suggest all those who had COVID and were isolated or quarantined at home, once you've cleared, please go to your healthcare physician, go to any doctor, be it the health center or privately, and just do a proper check, especially a chest x-ray and an ECG. Here's what I predict, and it's not just my prediction, it's being discussed all across medical forums. 3 years from now, 2 years from now, we're going to have an increased amount of cardiovascular disease, and they're going to correlate it or link it back to COVID-19. So let's prevent that from happening, right? So let's check it out now. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor. Thanks for holding.
Hey, please, no time to listen. Good afternoon, doctor. Why be to the error?
Yeah, man.
I want to know, what is the difference between the insulin and the tablets for diabetes, right? And which one is better? Is it the tablet or the insulin? Thanks.
Thank you so much. Excellent question. Now, first and foremost, one is not better over the other. Okay, both has different functions. We would typically prescribe insulin if there is a problem with the production of the insulin in your body. And that tends to be a second stage. If, however, the body can manage the conversion of the glucose into other components that can be absorbed into the blood system, then that's when you would be on medication. If insulin is prescribed for you, that would mean those cells within the pancreas cannot now produce insulin, and that's why you need to be on insulin. Please, anyone who's on insulin, don't stop using insulin because you want to switch to tablets. That's only a decision your medical practitioner can make. I can't say which one is better over the other because it's two different functions. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's take a call here. Well, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Oh, sorry, we lost that one. The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. 306-1065 for your WhatsApp messages only. And of course, 6273-223 and 625-2257 for your calls. All right. Hi, Doctor. When I go to the toilet, I see cold in my stool. Is that normal?
So again, anything that's out of the ordinary definitely is not normal. This one, cold in the stool, so that may be more a mucus deposition is what you're noticing. Definitely that needs to be checked right away because it could indicate some sort of polyp or some sort of inflammatory disorder within the gut. And once you're seeing it being produced, then definitely let's get it checked out.
All right. Hi, good day, doctor. I have psoriasis on my elbows, knees, and on my ankles. Is there any way I can get rid of it? It looks bad. I use so many products and it still does not get better. I also have anxiety and low blood count sometimes, so I get so frustrated and I don't know what to do.
Thank you so much for messaging in. I'm glad you added the additional things about the low blood count and the frustration. Illness on the whole can cause a level of stress, and that stress leads us into a vicious cycle. You shared that you use a number of creams already and it's not working. It seems that there's a deeper problem or something that is triggering this psoriasis. And yes, stress is something that can trigger it. Here's what I suggest. Definitely with the anemia, that needs to be treated. Low blood count. That can be treated. What you can do, and I'm sure you're already doing it, your green leafy vegetables, things like peas and beans, legumes, chana, salmon, sardines, those are great to help you build up your blood count. In building up your blood count, you can also have an iron tablet, a folic acid, but you need to make sure you're having a vitamin C component in that so that it becomes absorbed. Even before you start anything, take a little time, think it through. See if there are any stressful triggers, because that will precipitate the psoriasis more than ever. You can put any cream on that body. The stress is a vicious cycle and will keep presenting. So we have to treat the underlying cause. Now, let's still try to jump into the psoriasis treatment, because some of the over-the-counter medications may not work and may definitely need something a little bit stronger. So there are dermatological recommended type creams. Sometimes they may be antifungals, they may be steroid-based, they may be specific for that psoriasis plaque. What I suggest is have a conversation with your healthcare professional. Take one at a time, and I'm sure once you see progress in one aspect, the stress levels will start to come down and you will see progress in all of them. Hope that answers your question.
Right. Let's get another WhatsApp here. Can tomatoes or eggplants be eaten if you have arthritis?
Good question. Now, with tomatoes, there tends to be a higher acidic component. And there are those that when they do suffer with arthritis, any sort of acidic foods can precipitate it. So yes, you can eat, but if your body type is having a reaction to it, then obviously stay away from it, right? Each person, depending on what it is they may have a different reaction. It really depends on what your medical condition is, what the background is, and if there's any allergies to anything. As always, we recommend in moderation. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hi, good afternoon to you both. I listened to one of the answers Dr. Mohammed gave to a previous caller, and that was something to do with, I'm not sure whether it was linked with diabetes or just high blood pressure. The caller mentioned a headache. No, I think Dr. Mohammed mentioned a headache, the neck pain, and elevated BP. Now, I experienced this recently. Also, I'm a little bit concerned that I might be pre-diabetic. Excessive drinking, water, tiredness. I'm not sure if I can get a little bit more information about pre-diabetes, what to look for, I would be grateful. Thank you.
So thank you so much. And I know exactly what you were referencing. The patient had asked about the skin condition, and then we jump straight into some of those signs and symptoms that one may have if they're pre-diabetic. That high blood pressure, as in the headaches and the pain behind the neck or the blurry vision, that may present with high blood pressure. Now, pre-diabetes is indeed a very serious condition. In fact, what the global number is that it's probably 1 in 3. And right here in Trinidad, another fact, it's stated that probably about 80% of persons are walking around with pre-diabetes and haven't yet figured this out. What can you typically present with? Just as we talked about earlier, you may see that you're having an increased amount of episodes to the washroom. So there's an increased output of urine. So that's what we call frequency. You may see skin changes. You may have weight gain or weight loss. You may feel that numbness or tingling under the feet, under the soles, or even in the tips of the fingers. All of these are signs of pre-diabetes. Get that sugar test. But when we say get the blood sugar test, don't just do an arbitrary or what we call a random blood sugar test. What we recommend is a fasting blood sugar test. And a fasting means from overnight, you want to give your body at least 8 hours of fasting, and then you take that sugar test. That's what a fasting blood sugar test is. Or you just present to the health center, present to your physician, and they will guide that process. We not only do the fasting blood sugar test, but we also do something called an HbA1c, the glycosylated hemoglobin, because that actually gives us a better value, an indicator of where your sugar values are at. Another test they may ask you to do is they may ask you to do a urine dipstick analysis, where one passes the amount of urine and then we check to see if there's any spillover of sugar. All of that will let us know if the sugar within your body, if the control is not well regulated. That's just some of the preliminary tests. Thank you so much, caller, for bringing forward those that feedback, and of course asking specifically about pre-diabetes. If this is something that we can get patients in the pre-diabetic form, then we can prevent, one, the medications tend to be less, the side effects of the medications tend to be less. We can even better manage it on just lifestyle measures, on what you eat and exercise. We can better manage your stress. We can better reduce the complications. And that's why we talk more now about managing pre-diabetes and preventing diabetes. Hope that answers your question.
And just to remind our callers out there and our listeners, there's a special program right here on Freedom 106.5 FM between 12 and 1 called Diabetes and You, with Andrew Daniel, the president of the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago. So you can get a lot more of your concerns there as well. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir, and the doctor there. How are you all?
We're good, man.
Okay. I am 65 years. I am diabetic or patient at the San Francisco General. I have glaucoma, and the doctor has changed. I was on cyclopentolate, eye drops, and atropine. He changed the cyclopentolate to atropine. But when I'm using the atropine, I drop the eye deep scratching and burning sensation throughout. So I ended up stopping using it, but I didn't get time to go back to the institution because these people they're on schedule duty in the hospital. Can you tell me what to do? Please, thank you, listen up.
Thank you so much. I'm really sorry having that side effect with the atropine. What needs to happen is, even though if you're not able to get an appointment at the hospital, you still need to be reviewed by an ophthalmologist. Because once you switch off a specific medication like atropine, then the ocular pressures can be elevated. Now, it may not necessarily be the medication that's causing that symptom that you're feeling. It may be the increased ocular pressure. So when, and that's what causes, glaucoma, it's like a high blood pressure in the eye. So we say an increased ocular pressure, right? I know you said you couldn't get an appointment back at the San Fernando Gen. So if it's possible to present to the health center instead that's closest to you, or if you're able to go to a private doctor, that is important, because not getting your medications or not using the medication mean the pressures in the eye can go higher. And glaucoma, once there's a diagnosis of glaucoma, it means that one can start, that eye can lead now to vision loss and eventually blindness. So we don't ever want there to be a time frame when there's no treatment of the eye or of the glaucoma. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get a WhatsApp message here. Hi, Doc. Is there any cure or treatment for facial melasma? We got this yesterday.
So this is now the second time we're having this particular question about facial melasma. Yes, there is treatment for it. There isn't necessarily a cure per se, but here's what we do. A dermatologist takes a closer look at the melasma. We ensure, sometimes they may even need to biopsy one or two. We also take a look at a psychosocial profile, because yes, again, stress is one of those things that can affect or bring up that hyperpigmentation. We pay keen attention to the sun protection. Yes, using your proper SPF protection can worsen the melasma. There are indeed medications. It's a host of different things, so I won't want to go through the medications here. What is important, like I talked about, is your melasma medication, your sunscreen, and proper hydration. So please see a dermatologist about it. There is treatment. It's not necessarily a cure, but you certainly can get it under the wraps. Hope that answers your question.
Another question coming in here from a 13-year-old. Hi, good day, doctor. I have acne with oily skin, and I'm 13. What can I use for it to clear up?
Thank you so much that we're getting from a young listener. At 13, believe me, acne is something that will come forward. Let's make sure, one, because it could be, I don't know if it's a male or female, but either which way, both are going through hormonal changes. That tends as the way the body tends to present. So this is why we need to make sure our skin hygiene is in order. You can start every morning by having not just normal washing of your face, but wash your face with some warmer water than usual. There are a couple creams, a couple washes, facial washes in particular, that's designated for acne treatment. You start the morning with that, and you make sure in the night as well you're also doing the same. Once you've done the proper face wash, then you need to replenish the skin with some sort of hydration. You also want to watch some of the foods that you're eating. Any sort of overly processed, oversaturated foods, all of that can precipitate acne. And yes, if it becomes worse, as in if it's almost like you're seeing the pimples coming out, it's progressing over time, we even treat acne with antibiotics. So let your parents know that you want to be seen by a doctor, and they will make that assessment. But it starts from today. Look at what you're eating, have a little bit more water, cut out some of those processed oily things, and start a proper face hygiene. And you will see the changes in your skin in some time to come.
All right, let's get some questions here from Sangeet 106.1. Does stress and allergies trigger eczema and psoriatic dermatitis?
Yes, excellent presentation, pronunciation there.
Thank you.
Seborrheic dermatitis.
Oh, dermatitis.
Yes. Stress, you know, one of these good days, I think I'll just do a whole program and a whole Health Plus publication on what stress does to the body. Stress is the least diagnosed thing that the patient may present with, and the least diagnosed in all healthcare clinics, but it affects every single organ, especially the skin. Stress can precipitate eczema. First and foremost, we need to manage that trigger, manage the emotional outputs, and yes, that takes a little bit more than one sentence. Take your time to identify. Find something that makes you happy or de-stress or relax. Be it journaling, be it going out in the garden, be it even exercise. And of course, you want to ensure the host of eczema treatments. different skin conditions present differently and therefore treated differently. So go let your healthcare professional review it. And of course, I'm here to reassure you because I've treated a host of patients with eczema. That is very much treatable and manageable. You don't need to be suffering with eczema.
All right, let's get some calls. 627-3223, 625-2257. The lunchtime, doctor. 9 more minutes to go. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, doctor. Is diabetes reversible? And what is a good medication for fingernail fungus? Thank you.
Okay, so thank you so much for asking us this. Now, once a patient is diagnosed with diabetes, there isn't necessarily a cure, but we certainly can manage it with medications and with lifestyle so that you may not reach the point of complications. Can you reverse diabetes? No, but we can manage it where you may not need medications just by your lifestyle measures. But it really depends on where you present at and how far has this diabetes affected the skin or the organs. If the diabetes has already put you in kidney complications, then it certainly will not be easily manageable just by lifestyle. If it's in a pre-diabetic stage, that's earlier on, then yes, it can be, but it's managed by your lifestyle measures. Now, you asked about me recommending a specific medication. That's unfortunately, I always like to take the time, review my patients, get their history, examine them before we make a recommendation of one medication over another. Hope you're okay with that answer, but it's not something I feel comfortable to just recommend something over the radio.
Okay, good day, doctor. Good afternoon to you. I would like to find out why my baby has a bump on her head. I did an ultrasound, and they told me that it's a cyst. They want to cut it off or check it and let it drain out. Even that, I would like to know or do it. Is it normal? I am so scared.
Yes, I do understand that fear, because anything with our little ones would obviously cause some level of fear, but you're on the right steps. You've already made the right steps. You've gone to the doctor, they've done one of the investigations, an ultrasound, they've actually identified what it is. And in this case, they want to take it one step further and either remove or biopsy it. I understand you're fearful, but let's allow the medical team to do what they have to do, because if the cyst is indeed a cancerous cyst, then it will only become worse. But there's a high chance it can be benign, and benign means non-cancerous, and that's where they can easily just remove it, and then baby will be free of any sort of pathology with this cyst. I hope that answers the question, and I hope it also encourages and empowers you to make that next step forward, because you've already, it's like running the marathon and not crossing the finish line. Let's cross that finish line.
All right, here's another question about a cyst. Good afternoon, doctor. My daughter has a cyst that has been popping. When this happens, she passes clots. Could you advise as to what is going on? She is very concerned.
Now, clearly, this cyst may be more ovarian or endometrial if she's passing clots. Certainly, that she needs to see a healthcare professional, a gynecologist in particular. There's a host of things we can do in terms of treatment. From a hormonal treatment, we definitely need to do an ultrasound to have a better idea of what is causing these cysts and, of course, where these cysts are located. Hope that answers the question.
Okay, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. B.
Yes, sir.
I call earlier considering my neck. We have the access on my neck. My legs are in clean. Under my arms are in clean. That is one. And I want to know what is called pneumonia. Thank you, Alice Norfair.
Thank you so much. So, yes, just like we mentioned earlier, that darkness behind the neck or in the skin there is called a cantos nigricans. It is caused when there is an increased amount of sugar within the body, glucose within the body, and there's this deposit. So it's like a thick, velvety skin within the creases. It's okay if you don't see it under the arms or in the leg creases, but certainly get it checked because it is a sign and symptom of insulin resistance. And when we say insulin resistance, it means that hormone in the body called insulin that's usually secreted by the pancreas that processes or breaks down the sugar, the body is now not producing that hormone. So the sugar deposits all over the body, and this is one of the ways in which the sugar deposits on the skin and presents. So do get it checked out. There could be other things as well, but the most common one is indeed a high sugar value. Now, when it comes to pneumonia, what causes pneumonia? What is pneumonia? Pneumonia is indeed an infection of the lung. Some persons hear pneumonia and they think it's something with the eye, they think it's something with the knee. No, none of that. Pneumonia is indeed an infection of the lung. So you may hear something called alveoli. That's the air sacs that build up or make up the lung. And if there's any sort of inflammatory process, it could even be this allergies that are happening because of the Sahara dust, or COVID would lead you to a viral pneumonia. There may even be a bacterial type pneumonia. So there are a host of things that can cause a pneumonia. One may present with a cough, a cold, upper respiratory symptoms, lower respiratory symptoms. Either which way, get it checked out. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Hi, Doc. My granddaughter is 15 and she eats a lot of cornstarch or flour. And she's also endemic.
The last line she said there, she's also what?
It says here endemic. I don't know if she means anemic, but it says endemic.
Probably anemic. Yes. Endemic tends to be the way we describe the number of cases. So it may be that she's anemic. At 15, eating a lot of sugar, eating a lot of corn products, let's try to limit that. Let's try to switch out to some of the more healthy fruits and fibers, healthy fruits and vegetables. And if she's anemic, just like we mentioned earlier on, there's a couple things. Just from green leafy vegetables, the good old backyard spinach. That's something I know I personally, my grandparents used to make sure, telling me as a little child, make sure you have your spinach, especially at that age time when they're going through so many changes in their menstrual cycle. If she's presenting with anemia, it may be directly related to her menstrual cycle. So let's make sure we get that checked out.
All right, here's another question here about anemia. Is anemia a serious problem? I have low blood pressure, a low blood count, and always craving ice.
So that craving of the ice is called pica. And to all those who are tuned in, you may not realize that. If you find that you're craving ice, that is a typical sign that your blood count is low and needs to be evaluated and treated. Is anemia serious? Yes. Here's why it's serious. Every single cell is moved through the blood system. An anemic person can be at risk of heart attacks. An anemic person can be at risk of high infections. And even more so, an anemic person can easily, if the blood count goes too low, they can be easily falls, loss of consciousness, you can damage yourself. Please don't put yourself at that risk. If you're experiencing pica, which is craving the ice, then you need to be treated right away. Hope this answers your question.
All right, thank you very much, Doctor. Well, we've reached our peak time. It's 1 p.m.
Thank you so much to every single one who called in. We had a range of questions again today. We know that not always you may want to jump straight to the doctor. However, I hope that every single question I answered here today gives you that little extra courage to get it checked out and a little bit more information that it guides your medical journey. A great appreciation to all that call, all that tune in, and all that continue to make this program that what it is for all of Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you, BASE. Thank you to TBC Network that continues to bring this program to Trinidad and Tobago.
All right. Thank you very much, Doctor. Do enjoy your weekend. And of course, that was your lunchtime doctor, your favorite doctor, Hood Mondays to Wednesdays, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day and, of course, your Easter weekend as well.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.